mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up on this special edition of the podcast, it is finally here. The day we've been talking about for months and local officials have been planning for years has arrived at last. The solar eclipse will begin locally at 1:56 p.m. and reach totality at 3:10 this afternoon. Eclipse chasers and stargazers have come from all over to witness what has been described as the galaxy's greatest spectacle. So this morning, we begin the final countdown to this once-in-a-lifetime event for Northwest Ohio. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, April 8th, 2024. Excitement building for the first solar eclipse in the U.S. since 2017 would be the last for quite some time. The path of totality will occur in over a dozen states, including here in Northwest Ohio, next time that the United States will have an eclipse visible in the U.S. Because eclipses happen about every year, year and a half. So they're not necessarily rare, but it is rare to have the eclipse pass by any given spot. As a matter of fact, in Northwest Ohio, we won't see another one until 2099. You've heard that several times. The next one in the United States, well, there'll be one in 2033 and one in 2039 that will be visible in Alaska. But as far as the continental United States, it'll be 2044 when an eclipse will, that'll be more of a Canadian event. It'll clip Montana and the Dakotas right before sunset. But it will still, the northern plains states. 2045 is a big eclipse that will start out west. Won't start out west, so start in the deep south and move to the west, the west and the deep south. And, of course, in our area, it won't be until 2099 that we see. So we're crossing our fingers for good weather. But what are we actually in for? For those of us, such as myself, who have never seen a total solar eclipse before. Over the past several weeks, we've been talking to a number of people who have to kind of give us an idea of what to expect. For example, Jamie Sandberg experienced the eclipse of 2017 in her native Nebraska, was so inspired that she ended up writing a children's book about it. What advice would you have for those with small children with respect to this event?
Right. People are fearful, and that's understandable that, they don't want their kids to get hurt. And everybody totally understands that. I think we can take heart that in the 2017 eclipse, there were 215 million people who are, who watched it, and there were just very, very few, not even a handful of cases of eye damage, and they were actually older people.
It is a very unique opportunity, as we've said, to have this event happening right here in our own backyard. And because you have been through this before, I do want to ask you about this. We've also been talking about what we can expect in terms of the influx of sightseers that we're likely to get. And again, you've been through this before. What is it really like to be in that path of totality with all of the eclipse chasers and all of that hype?
Oh my gosh. Just prepare. And then if you have the chance to stay wherever you're watching the eclipse for a little bit afterwards, everybody tries to leave right after totality. It's like leaving a football game right when it gets over. But if you hang out, and just finish your popcorn or whatever and wait, an hour or so, the stadium's empty, right? The parking lot's empty. So I would just say hang tight or pack snacks and whatever you need in your car, because you could get in a traffic jam. It could be difficult even just driving across town.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, like I said, we lived in a rural area, and this interstate that normally is just more antelope than people had just a completely stopped traffic jam for hours.
Wow. Yeah.
So it is crazy, but it is worth it, I'm telling you. And it's a great opportunity, the tourism that will come to town. I mean, it's a great economic opportunity for the area. And there are just so many things. I mean, kids will sell lemonade. They'll do all kinds of fun things. So just embrace it. Just enjoy the experience. That's it.
And just last week, new Hancock Historical Museum Director Sarah Foltz was with us in the studio, and she talked about driving down to Kentucky for that last eclipse in 2017 and what that experience was like. You have actually been through this before.
I have, yes, a few years ago.
What is that like? Yeah, you went to, what, Kentucky?
I was in Kentucky, yeah.
Okay, so talk a little bit about that experience.
It is such a cool experience. And I know we talk a lot about having all of our resources, our emergency services prepared, and that is very, very important from the, let's just say, patron standpoint, or if you're traveling to experience this.
Yeah.
It is being a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Or in your case, twice-in-a-lifetime.
Now, yeah, yeah. I think I looked. It is the next time this will happen in this area, it's actually falling on my 100th birthday.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah,
maybe it'll
weird,
be three
right?
times in your lifetime, if you're
we'll
lucky.
We'll see. I don't know. But ultimately, make sure you have your glasses, play it safe, but also it's so communal. You're surrounded by people that are experiencing a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. And when it wraps up, relish in that and don't be in a rush because, A, the traffic is going to be
Yeah,
bad.
There's no point in it. And I was going to ask you about that because you actually, from what I am understanding, you kind of did this on a whim. It wasn't necessarily a big planned thing where you went and stayed overnight like some people did.
Well, for me, it wasn't planned, but I will say my other half was very planned. So he had a hotel booked a year in advance.
Wow.
To the point where the hotel, we check in and they said, they saw the rate that we got and they said, you booked this a long time
ago, didn't you? Yeah.
So he was very, very prepared and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
And at that time it was in the heat of the summer. So there were a lot of farms, you know, renting out land to be able to park. So we had a couple different places reserved to go.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of spring in Hancock County. So
much different scenario. But
yes.
The traffic, as you mentioned, the traffic getting out, and that's what we've been talking about. Again, you've experienced that. And
yeah, if I could do it all over again, we were those people at the time that tried to leave and head home immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
So if I could do it all over again, we would have made a day, maybe a couple days out of it, and then headed home because the highways were just at an inch speed and you don't know when you're going to see a gas station again or be able to go to the restroom. So preparing all of those things is going to make the entire experience for everyone much more enjoyable, having those snacks, not being in a rush to leave, and then we'll just see people kind of trickle.
But definitely worth it.
100%. Yes.
Right. Again, Sarah Foltz with us from the program last week and her experience back in 2017. If you are going somewhere today, other to try and view the eclipse somewhere other than just your backyard, experts recommend leaving your pets at home. Eclipses aren't necessarily dangerous for dogs and cats, but given the fact that there are so many people and so many different stimuli for pets, they do say that they're, what I think historically, this is a kind of like the 4th of July, a big day for dogs and cats to escape their houses and run off and become lost. So probably best to just keep the dogs in the cats indoors, don't take them along with you, treat it like you would the 4th of July, and if you do bring a pet, make sure they have plenty of space and water, and that they're on a leash, and obviously don't force your pet to look at the eclipse, because it'll damage their eyes as well. And speaking of eye damage, that's the other thing, of course, eclipse glasses, by now, hopefully everyone has those. The American Astronomical Society reminding those who will be watching the eclipse to make sure that the glasses that you have are approved for the solar eclipse. They should carry the seal. They should you should be able to tell where they were manufactured. Most of the eclipse glasses around this area, or really around the country, have been made by a company in Tennessee. And those, including the ones that Visit Findlay was handing out. And those are reputable. But be warned, be forewarned, that the market is full of cheap knockoffs. And you want to make sure that you are not looking through a set of glasses that aren't going to provide your eyes the protection that they need. So things to keep in mind as we go through the day today, and the countdown begins to the solar eclipse of 2024.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly sunny skies today, high around 70. Mostly clear tonight, a low around 50. Today's the day of the total solar eclipse, and Findlay is within the path of totality. That means a lot of people will be flocking to Flag City, USA to watch the eclipse. Hancock County Sheriff Michael Heldman says people can expect big crowds and a lot of traffic.
That is what people are going to have to realize if they leave their home and go somewhere to view this. How are you getting home, and how long will it take you? It will take some time.
The city of Findlay has designated Emory Adams Park, Swale Park, The Cube, and Owens Community College as viewing sites. People are encouraged to walk to those viewing sites if possible, or just watch the eclipse from where you are. Get much more eclipse information in the story on our website. The Ohio State Highway Patrol makes clear that drivers already on the highway need to keep moving during today's total solar eclipse.
Don't plan on setting up camp or stopping along the interstate, an entrance or exit ramp, or any other roadway. This is never permitted.
Sergeant Ryan Perpura says troopers will be watching for violators and working on keeping traffic flowing on the state's highways. Get more in the story on our website. Findlay Mayor Christina Mern says emergency services will be ready today as the city gets inundated with visitors for the solar eclipse.
Our police officers are going to be working longer shifts, overlapping, and pretty much all of everybody's working. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely going to be, we are staffed up for emergency situations.
The total solar eclipse in Findlay is expected to start at approximately 3:10 this afternoon and last for 3 minutes and 44 seconds. You can get much more eclipse information on our website. United Way of Hancock County says it has recognized Brian Kreinbrink as its Jerry Borling Distinguished Volunteer of the Year for his exceptional and wide-ranging service, whether it be hands-on projects in the field or offering expertise on several boards of directors. Learn more about the recognition and see a picture of Brian in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So what do local officials expect will be our population count for this once-in-a-lifetime event here in Northwest Ohio? What will be the influx of eclipse chasers? Alyssa Preston of Visit Findlay is with us this morning. Thanks for joining us straight out of the gate here this morning. I know last week, Alyssa, you spent some time kind of going around and talking with the hotel operators and things of that nature, trying to get this final tally. What is the number? What are the numbers that you are hearing from those who will be hosting these eclipse chasers?
Thanks, Chris. With our hotel partners on, and they have been wonderful over the last few days to continue to give us updated information as things fluctuate with this weather. Really has made people change plans, and we're sitting at about 95% occupancy throughout all of Hancock County, and that equates to 1,500 hotel rooms, so you assume there would be 2 to 4, maybe even more, per room. So just the overnight guests in our hotel room is significant. We have a lot of family and friends visiting. Our campgrounds that are already open are full. And just our drive-in traffic today is really the wild card.
Exactly. This is, you know, something that we've talked about in the lead up to this. We don't know what we don't know. And one of those unknowns are the number of people who are going to be coming in at the last second just for the day, which may include some folks who were planning on going elsewhere, but maybe the forecast is not quite as conducive as what it appears to be for us.
Absolutely. And I think the city and county have done a great job. They have traffic pattern plans, kind of that contingency plan of A, B, and C. So they're ready.
Yeah. One of the things that is kind of interesting, yesterday we had deployed many of our staff out and about in the community and around the county to just kind of get a gauge of how many people are coming in, 24 hours ahead and sort of get a feel for this. And obviously, we noted, anyone who was out yesterday noted the city was already preparing, setting up those routes around the viewing spots with orange barrels and traffic signs and, all of that. So the prep work, the hope is that all of this prep work will pay off.
Absolutely. And I've certainly been one to say, if we're wrong, I'm okay with being wrong right now. That's one of those situations, if it's less than we expect, that's fine too. But we're certainly putting our best foot forward. With our hotel partners, we've provided welcome bags to each individual that is staying in a hotel. That included eclipse glasses, and we did a sample itinerary of things to do both yesterday and this morning before they make it to their viewing sites, and this afternoon and tomorrow. We've worked really closely with all of our shops and restaurants to determine who is open and who is not, and have that all listed on our website. So we hope our guests really utilize those things. And last night I was in downtown, and I think they did. For a Sunday in downtown, it was certainly hopping. So that's good to see.
That is what I heard. I did not make it downtown last night myself, but from all indications, the people that I talked to and heard from, it was a very busy place for a Sunday evening, more so than it would normally be for a Sunday evening. What has been the response from outside of the hotels? I mean, again, that's been a big part of what you're doing to prepare for the influx of visitors, is obviously with the hotels and hospitality businesses. But outside of that, businesses and merchants, what has been the response to all of this?
It has been very favorable. It took some time for both retailers and restaurants to determine what they would be doing. I think they needed that first person to say, okay, I'm going to stay open, or I'm going to carry these products. Mm-hmm. So they all hopped on board. You will notice a lot of our retailers with T-shirts, jewelry, memorabilia, they have been reporting holiday-type sales over the last couple of weeks, that they've been very busy. Even with out-of-state, Dietz's has been shipping chocolate all over with their Eclipse goodies. So I think they have all definitely benefited from taking that chance. And then with our restaurants, you're seeing specialty cocktails pop up that are Eclipse-related and featured dishes. So it's been pretty cool to see how they've all embraced this.
Well, and interesting, you mentioned that it's been sort of a holiday season type of influx of spending for local merchants, which is certainly good news. And that was one of the big hopes going in, is that the local economy could capitalize on this in that way, because all of these people coming in going to have money to spend.
Yes, and I think that's certainly been top of mind, that let's take this as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think at first it was all the unknown, and it still is so much unknown, but sure, fearful of the unknown. But many have taken it on as an opportunity. Our organization looks at this as a great opportunity, that we have people that never would have had Findlay, Ohio on their map to come visit.
Right.
So we have them here now. Let's make it a good experience for them, and they might think of us again when they're, planning a little trip.
As you were mentioning, putting our best foot forward, it is certainly an opportunity for that. And we were mentioning the influx of visitors in terms of hotel bookings. The one thing that's a little bit more difficult to track are things like Airbnb. I know even the airport is getting into the act with fly-in today, and I know they've had a number of reservations. So there are even other factors that are maybe more a little bit more challenging to track with respect to that.
You're absolutely right, and we have tried to keep our pulse on that hotel stay, but still in the back of our mind. I know I've talked to a number of people in the community that they have kids or family coming in with groups of people to stay with them at their homes, yeah. and they're hosting neat eclipse viewing parties. So I think all weekend long we saw a little uptick of new faces in the community.
Well, again, it is certainly good to hear that the economic impact has been what we had hoped it would be, because at the end of the day, that's really the opportunity for us locally to capitalize on an event such as the eclipse. It's a unique opportunity, but the bottom line is, you know, how can we, how can the community benefit from this? So.
Yeah, and I think we've all learned a lot. Event we never anticipated planning for, but we've all come together, and that's, I keep saying, our community has been so wonderful. Everybody sat around the table and said, okay, we're going to stay in our lane and do what we do well, and I think it's really benefited all of Findlay and Hancock County.
Yeah, at the end of the day, and I guess that is a point worth making, that this only happens, and it's kind of interesting because in hearing some of the anecdotal stories from other places along the path of the eclipse, some have been more prepared than others. And it seemed, again, as I was out and about yesterday, it seemed like things were flowing pretty normal. There were obviously more people here than usual, but it wasn't causing any big problems. Now, we'll see what happens after the eclipse, but it seems like we are as prepared as any community can be, largely because everybody came to the table and worked together to in a coordinated effort to make this happen.
You're right, and I think, yes, that kind of after the eclipse is the real story that we will all tell for days to come. But yesterday I think people were in our parks. I noticed as I was traveling around town, whether they were just waiting to check into their room, and the weather has been beautiful. So to get out and do things, or they're checking out viewing sites. But checking in with our hotel partners late last evening, some of our hotels over on I-75 were reporting as many as 25 different states had checked in. Yeah. So, you know, it's all these neat things that we will certainly compile and have a follow-up story to tell.
And we will look forward to that. Again, Alyssa Preston of Visit Findlay with us this morning. An update for us here in this final tally of the influx and the population count, what we can expect later on through the course of the day today. Alyssa, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Enjoy the day.
Our Dave Glass is going to be stationed at the Hancock County Emergency Operations Center throughout the day to provide official updates and critical information from local officials. And he is with us on the line this morning. Dave, first of all, thanks very much for taking the time. And talk a little bit about the role of the EOC as it relates to today's eclipse.
Sure. Good morning, Chris. Glad to join you on Good Mornings. Interesting. If you take a look at this, and I would just start by sharing the following thoughts. Patience, awareness of your surroundings, work your plan, and eye protection. Mm-hmm. Obviously here at the EOC today, and it's interesting, when you look at this emergency operations center, when they enact this, there are certain protocols that fall into place, and it takes an enormous amount of cooperation. And I will tell you, these folks have been meeting for 2 to 2.5 years. Radio has really plugged into this over the last 6 months. So really, they have obviously done all the heavy lifting. Lee Swisher, I think, said it best, director of Hancock County EMA, when he said that our job is to plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Right. As I think we all are. And as a matter of fact, talking about preparing, we were speaking with the mayor and the sheriff last week about preparations in the city and county. And one of the things they mentioned is that they are strategically positioning their assets strategically around the community in order to be able to respond quickly if an issue were to arrive. And that really is what the EOC will be coordinating all of those responses across multiple agencies, right?
Sure, sure. In the room today here at the EOC, county will be represented, city, EMS, Public Works, Public Health, Law Enforcement, Blanchard Valley Hospital, the CVB Chamber, local ham operators will be here, Chris, as well as the broadcast stations of WFIN, WKXA, The Fox, and WBVI. So we anticipate EOC being open until 8 o'clock tonight, and as you said, strategically placed all throughout the county. I know Leah will be down in Arlington, and that is, as you know, closer to the center line. So, you know, at the end of the day, what we really hope and pray for is a memorable experience for everybody. And as I said, I think at the top of the list is patience. I think we're going to have a great day.
Yeah, they actually, just to sort of reassure the public that they have all of this in hand to the greatest extent possible, because there are always going to be unknowns in an event like this, as one might expect. They were actually even prepared to open the EOC yesterday, if need be, for the influx of people. And fortunately, that didn't happen. Wasn't needed, but the preparations were there for that to happen even yesterday.
100%. I talked to the sheriff at noon yesterday, and just listening to some of the fellows here this morning talking, everybody, Chris, even you, everybody at the radio group, we were talking back and forth all day. And, you know, at the end of the day, we don't know what the day is going to yield, but I think folks should feel confident, proud that those who are elected or hired or appointed to take care of our security and to make sure that we're safe, they really have done their homework, and we're really, really in good hands.
And so you're going to be at the EOC all day today for as long as it is open. We're going to update you, updates from you at least a couple of times now, or more frequently if necessary. We'll remind folks that obviously, with the huge influx of people, there is a possibility that cellular service will be spotty, and you know, text messaging and internet availability may be limited. So keep your radio handy, keep it right here, and we'll make sure that we keep you up to date with all of the information that you need to know. Again, Dave Glass at the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center for Hancock County this morning, checking in. Dave, thanks very much.
Welcome, Chris.
You know, it just so happens that NASA's Glenn Research Center in Cleveland will be in the path of totality today, the only NASA facility in the path of this total solar eclipse. Recently, we spoke with Dr. Carolyn Mercer. She is chief technologist for NASA's Science Mission Directorate, about how the science of solar eclipses provides vital information for future exploration of the universe. Will this be a work event for the scientists at the Glenn Research Center, or will those folks be looking to experience it kind of like the rest of us?
So a lot of the people at the Glenn Research Center are going to be down at the Great Lakes Science Center for the NASA Village for the total solar eclipse. And so they'll be down there talking with the public. I'll be down there too. But a lot of folks, you know, they have to do their testing and their evaluations, and so they'll be at work just like a regular day. But I guarantee they will be stepping outside in the afternoon so that they can witness that event just like all the rest of us.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason I asked, because I noticed looking at NASA's website that back at the eclipse in 2017, the agency funded nearly a dozen studies to collect data that it says is only available during eclipses. I was almost a bit surprised by that, that in this day and age, with all of the technology that we have, that still one of the best ways to gather information for the world's leading scientists is to basically go out and look at the sun when it disappears behind the moon.
Yeah, so it may sound surprising, but it's absolutely true. So, you know, for all of us who are lucky enough to be in the path of totality, that's what we call it, where the moon exactly covers the sun,
right,
so that we get, you know, a twilight experience. We only get to see that for about 3 or 4 minutes, which is a really long time, and it's going to be awesome. But that's only 3 or 4 minutes at any given time, you know,
right,
in a given place. But this eclipse is going to pass through the entirety of North America. It's going to start in Mexico and end up all the way in Canada. And that's going to take over 3 hours. So NASA is asking for citizen scientists, if they can, to take a photograph of what they see during the eclipse And collectively, we'll gather all of those photographs, put them together, and we'll get like a 3-hour movie of what the sun was doing during the eclipse. And during the eclipse, right, the earth and the moon and the sun are perfectly aligned.
Right.
So that all we see is the very outer reaches of the sun's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And we call that the corona. And that's what people will be taking a picture of. And so having a 3-hour movie of the corona from all across the northern hemisphere is data that we actually can't get from a single spacecraft.
And I noticed that one of the research studies from 2017 involved learning how the sun affects space weather. Explain what that is, and how does understanding space weather, why is this important?
So, you know, people think that deep space is completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out it's not. There are millions, a steady stream of high energy particles and magnetic fields and the light and the heat that comes from the sun. And we call that the solar wind. And that solar wind impacts everything. It impacts the earth. It interacts with our magnetic field and causes the aurora. It actually interacts with our upper atmosphere, and it affects our weather and our climate. So if we can, that solar wind is created in that corona, the light that we see during this total solar eclipse.
I see.
So if we can understand what's going on in the corona, we can understand what that solar wind is doing.
And the only time to really see the corona is during an eclipse.
Exactly, which is why that movie is really important.
Yeah.
And it matters a lot, too, because there's radiation in that solar wind, and that can affect electronics here on Earth and on our spacecraft. But it can also affect the human health of our astronauts on the space station on the astronauts that are soon going to go to the moon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, is this how important is this for our hopes for exploration of outer space with the moon and perhaps eventually moving on to Mars or other parts of the universe?
Yeah, it's really important. So we want to be able to predict really severe solar storms so that we can protect our astronauts and protect our electronics, too, you know, get a nice predictive capability so that we can stay out of harm's way.
Yeah. And again, this, I know because we've talked about it in the past, that observing eclipses, I mean, from the very beginning of science, since the earliest days of science, when mankind was just discovering that there was more out there than just what he could see with the naked eye, observing eclipses has been a big part of learning about space. What are some of the things over time that people have learned in the past by viewing eclipses?
Yeah, up until very recently, really the only thing we knew about the corona came by people watching during eclipses.
Mm-hmm.
And so a really interesting thing that we learned, like 150 years ago, people were studying the spectrum of the light from that corona during the eclipse, just like you can take light through a prism and you can break it up into red, blue, and green.
Right.
Well, they noticed that there was a really, really strong amount of green light. And they couldn't figure out what that was because none of the elements that we knew about would fluoresce at that light, that wavelength. And it took us decades to figure out that what that was a very particular form of iron that only exists at really high temperatures. And so what we have come to learn is that that corona that we see is over a million times hotter than the atmosphere of the sun below it, which is really strange, right?
Yeah.
And we learned that doing an observation of an eclipse.
And I would imagine that something like the eclipse is a terrific, I guess for lack of a better term, PR event for NASA and for scientists in general, in terms of getting people interested, especially getting young people interested in learning more about science and about the universe and so on.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, a lot of NASA scientists got their start when they were kids. They saw a really interesting physical phenomenon and just got hooked on science.
Yeah.
So yeah, at NASA Glenn, there's going to be a big outreach, like I said, at the Great Lakes Science Center, but that's just the weekend of the eclipse. They continuously have programs in education and outreach. We have lots of programs for students, all the way from, you know, K through 12 up to college students, a lot of internships. So we love talking with kids and getting them as excited about science and space exploration as we are.
Today's Celestial Show, of course, is an opportunity for scientists and educators to use kids' fascination with a solar eclipse as a springboard to inspire the next generation of leaders in science and space discovery. Dean Regas is an astronomer, author, and co-host of the series Stargazers on PBS, who has been working very closely with the Neil Armstrong Air and Space Museum in Wapakoneta to nurture young people's curiosity in the wonders of space.
You know, over the past several weeks, I've spoken to a number of scientists about various aspects of this event, and they almost always say that it was something like this, some sort of astronomical event that they witnessed at a young age that triggered their fascination. Is that kind of your story as well?
Yeah, I mean, a total solar eclipse is by far the most amazing astronomical event you will see in the sky. It rivals anything you would see in your entire life as being so cool. And so it is totally inspiring. We saw this a lot in 2017 with the last total solar eclipse, which was down in Kentucky and Tennessee. At least that's close to where we were in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And we saw this uptick in interest in astronomy and space science from this because it is an awe-inspiring sight. You're left moved afterwards, and you're pretty much in awe of the universe. And so I'm expecting the same thing with this one.
So that leads us to the question that we want to raise and talk about this morning. You know, what happens after the eclipse? How can parents and educators sort of latch on to that and continue to nurture that inquisitiveness, if you will, moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what people can do after the eclipse is get in contact with your local astronomy club. Pretty much every town in Ohio and Indiana have astronomy clubs you can get associated with. There's science centers, museums, planetariums, all sorts of places that you can get involved with. And also, you know, you can bother your teachers a little bit too and say, hey, you know, let's do some field trips to some of these cool places like the Armstrong Air and Space Museum, which is going to be a huge like epicenter for this.
Mm-hmm. I know you have been working very closely with the Neil Armstrong Air and Space Museum in Wapakoneta on all of their eclipse related programming. They have a number of things that are going on.
Ooh, man, this is going to be an interesting one. I mean, there's going to be probably tens of thousands of people coming to Wapakoneta because, you know, it's Neil Armstrong's hometown.
Sure.
That museum is so cool off of the interstate. So it's going to be a big eclipse party.
And, you know, we need this this fascination with the next generation, that creativity that they bring to it. Because for all of the talk about these things that we want to do in exploring the universe, like traveling to Mars or colonizing the moon someday, we're talking about it now, but the fact is we really don't know how we're going to pull all of this off. We need that. Will be up to the next generation to figure out a lot of this.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would love to see some people on Mars in my lifetime. It is a daunting task to be able to send somebody to Mars and back. But that's the thing, is the people seeing this eclipse now as kids or students in high school, they're going to be the future astronauts, and they're going to be maybe even the first people on Mars. And you don't need equipment. You don't really need telescopes, binoculars, cameras.
That's one of the really cool things about it, is that you don't need any special equipment to enjoy this. Although, again, as we're talking about nurturing our kids' fascination with it, maybe afterwards you want to go out and get a telescope or, you know, for the kids or something so that they can do more of that exploration on their own.
Absolutely. And getting a telescope is always a little tricky because there's so many different models out there. So you want to pick ones that are easy to use, really solid mounts. So it really is a great way to look at reviews online for telescopes. Reviewers do a great job of promoting it and saying which ones are good and which ones aren't so good. But getting some kind of nurturing that wonder of the universe, that's what I'm really hoping this eclipse will do.
Yeah.
And we'll see this kind of boon in science and science education afterwards.
Yeah, that's really the point we want to make, is to not let this just pass by and continue to nurture this.
Yeah, when totality strikes and it is dark enough, it's like twilight, but a different kind of shade of twilight. The sky takes on this kind of silver purple color. It's dark enough for some of the brighter stars to pop out. The temperature drops 15 to 20 degrees.
Right.
It is startling how it changes very, very quickly. And then once totality is over, it goes back to normal pretty quick, like a few seconds, and it's back to normal.
Dean Regas with us this morning, astronomer, author, and Ohio native, talking about all of the things that are connected with the eclipse in terms of inspiring the next generation to learn more about space and science in general. And Dean, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, and keep looking up.
Of course, today's solar eclipse is something most of us won't see again in our lifetime. So if you want to capture photos or video of the big show, local photography enthusiast Will Miller joined us last week with some tips on getting shots that'll do justice to the spectacular nature of the eclipse itself, all without damaging your device in the process. So what's the best way to capture this?
Well, you know, most folks are going to take photos with their phones.
Right.
That's just kind of a given nowadays. The most important thing to remember is you still have to have a filter over your phone, whether that be, some sort of solar filter that you purchased off of Amazon or something like that, and they're widely available, or you kind of made yourself something homemade out of a pair of kind of the solar glasses, which you could most certainly do.
Yeah, I actually did this yesterday just to check and see if this would work. And I thought, well, if I hold that over my camera's lens, will that work?
Yeah, I mean, the solar film that's on there is the same kind of solar film for the most part that's on most of the all the solar filters that are out there. I mean, there are some better quality ones and some stuff like that for some professional lenses and things like that. But that's going to be pretty much the same kind of type of filter material that you're going to get. But the most important thing to remember is you got to have that filter over your camera lens at any time you're going to take a photo up until the time of totality. So you want to make sure you have that on your camera, holding it up to your camera on your phone until totality. Once totality happens, you can take that away, and you got about 3.5 minutes to take all the photos you want without that.
One of the things that I've read is that with most devices, again, and we're talking about phones, if you zoom in to get, because the sun is going to be rather small in the sky, but if you zoom in, you're likely to get a lesser quality picture.
That is correct, Chris, and that's probably the biggest thing that most people are going to do in their photos. They're going to try to zoom in with the typical feature where you just kind of pinch your fingers on there and kind of zoom in on there.
Mm-hmm.
Unless your phone has a dedicated telephoto lens, which a lot of the newer cameras do, which is great. If it has that, then obviously you can use that setting where that has a telephoto on there, which is not going to have that problem. But you are correct. It's going to degrade the quality of that photo on that phone. And it's also going to give you blurry images and things like that, just because you can't hold that phone steady enough to be able to actually take that photo. If you are going to attempt to try to do something like that with a zoomed in photo like that, you are going to get a degraded quality, but you could still get possibly a decent photo, but you're going to want to have that mounted on maybe like a little tripod or somewhere. Mm-hmm. Set your timer on your phone to do that, because you cannot hold your phone steady enough to be able to take that without shaking.
Yeah. Same thing goes for shooting a video. If you wanted to get a video of the whole process, best way to do that is on a tripod.
Correct. Yeah. Just set yourself up on a tripod, and you can get an inexpensive tripod at Walmart for $20, $30, something like that. And you could set up your phone on that tripod to do a video, and you're going to get a much clearer, more quality video or photo doing that way.
So a couple of other things that I have read and I want to get your thoughts on. Some phones will allow you to adjust the image quality or the size of the photo. Obviously, you want the highest setting for something like this.
That's correct. I mean, you want to do the highest setting. Probably the biggest faux pas really with phone photographs is you can take a very great high quality image on your phone, but most phone images, they look really good on your phone. Mm-hmm. You could probably print an 8x10 and they'll look okay. If you try to go much larger than that, your image just isn't going to be there because the sensors in the phones just, they're not equipped to take that photo and get the amount of data that it takes to make the large photos like that. So if you just wanted to do something where you want to show it out on social media or you know, maybe print yourself a nice 8x10 to put on your wall, you could get a very nice quality image. And I've taken several with my phone. And so the recommendation is just make sure you take all your photos on the highest setting, which is RAW in most cameras. And if you do that in the RAW setting on most cameras, you can adjust that a much easier later on.
Rather than converting that internally to a JPEG or some sort of lossy type of format. So something you might want to investigate there. As well, makes it easier to adjust the colors, as you were saying, and adjust the zoom, like using Photoshop or something like that later on.
Right, that raw image is basically going to take the raw data right out of your camera. It's not going to adjust it or
process
that photo at all. So you're going to be able to get a little bit easier to do some post production in your photos, how you want to do it. But most of your photos, if you're using the right solar filter on there, you're going to get some pretty amazing shots. Of that partial eclipse and then up into totality. You're going to have 3.5 minutes, so you have plenty of time to take a lot of photos.
Yeah.
And you may need to just adjust your camera settings back and forth a little bit to see what's looking best on your screen.
So bottom line, biggest tips. Number one, you got to have the solar filter or else you're going to ruin your equipment. Get a tripod so that you're not getting shaky photos. Get a lot. It probably is a good idea to know how to adjust all of those settings quickly on the fly because you're only going to have so much time to take different photos with different settings, and the highest quality, the raw photo if you can get it, and also turn off your automatic flash.
Yeah, if you take a photo with the flash, you're going to have a little bit of an interesting photo on the phone for sure.
You don't need it. You don't want it. You don't need it. Really good stuff. Again, Will Miller with us this morning. Share some tips on how to photograph the eclipse and come up with shots that are worthy of this once-in-a-lifetime event. Well, thanks very much for the insight. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for this morning. I thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, that, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, even though many states, including Ohio, have tried to crack down on distracted driving, it remains a growing problem. What does and doesn't work to keep people focused when they're behind the wheel? So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.